You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. The Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel, for maintaining spiritual life, and for knowing God's will. Discover more about this truth in week 2 of our series, Worldview.
All right, good morning everyone. Good morning. Kindly shake the hand of the person seated right next to you. Now today we are down to the second installment of our series called Worldview. We're basically looking at the different Psalms of David and together with some other texts. Last week, we've talked about us meditating on the scripture. We will be shifting gears once in a while as we talk about the necessity of God's word. This is going to be like a preaching and teaching all at the same time. Like what was said last week by Tom and John, when we say worldview, it's basically coming from the word worldview. In fact, this is how different dictionary explains what a worldview is. To basically cut it short, a worldview is basically how you see the world, or it is your perspective with everything that is happening around you. To basically make it short, a worldview is a perspective or a belief system. Now, here's a fact. Every single one of us here, we have our own sets of worldview. The question here now is that as a Christian, do we have a biblical worldview? A biblical worldview is important because having a biblical worldview would enable you to wrestle with the different challenges of life, with the different questions of life, even with the questions of the meaning of life in a philosophical perspective. And that is basically where this series is coming from, that by the end of this series, we're praying that every single one of us here will have a biblical worldview. Now, what is interesting here is the fact that as we are having this series, there might be a lot of teachings in this specific series. We're on the second one, and this is going to run for the next 7 more weeks. So we're going to be talking about the authority of the Scripture, the sufficiency of the Scripture. We're going to talk about illumination and all of these things. Now for today, what we're going to do here is that we're going to entice everyone and basically answer the very big question whether we really need the Bible or not. Now let me just say something for a while with regards to the Bible that you have in your hands right now or in your pads. How many of you have played this game before? Message relay games? I don't know if you've ever encountered that. But whenever a message relay is done from one person down to the 10th one, most often than not, when it reaches the 10th person, it's no longer the message that was delivered to the first one, right? I mean, it's just a natural thing that happens to every single one of us. Now, look at this one. If you try to understand how the Bible basically came to be, first thing that I want you to understand that the ancient Israelites, the Jewish people, they have an excellent oral tradition. Meaning to say, they have this way of just memorizing and passing information from one generation to the next. So meaning to say, when I say passing one generation to the next, we're talking about a message that has not been diluted or a message that is not subtracted, a message that is basically the original one that was given to the first recipient of that message. Now, even with the fact that they have an excellent oral tradition, God still, in His sovereignty, inspired many writers to come up with a Bible. That is one of the things that we're thankful to God for, that we all have here with us the very scripture that basically enables us to answer many of the questions that we have in life. One of the things that we need to answer is this one. What do we need the Bible for? Do we read the Bible simply because your discipler or people in Victory tells you to do so? The big question that we have here is, what do we need the Bible for? This is actually a question that was presented in the International Council of People of Bible Translation. What do we need the Bible for? Now, to answer that question, what do we need the Bible for? We're going to look at two things here this morning. First is the necessity of the Bible. We're going to camp on that. And after which, we're going to touch a little bit on the benefits of God's Word. So we're going to look at Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. This was written by King David himself. It says here, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Then it says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Then he says further, "More to be desired are they," talking about God's word, "than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Let me see a show of hands for a while. When we have read the Bible from cover to cover, Proudly wave your hand. Palakpakan naman yung mga to. Anyone here who's on track this year to finish the entire Bible? Very good. Let's pray for that. The Bible actually is an enjoyable book. If you get to understand, it's been written by 66 writers in different generations, different books in the Bible, different era, different places. But at the end of the day, we understand that the book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is basically one story. And that is what makes it interesting. Let's just talk about the necessity of God's word. First things first, we have to establish something. The first thing that we have to establish is this one. The scripture is the word of God. If I am to base a worldview regarding the Bible itself based on Psalm chapter 19, I will come up with this conclusion right here that the scripture is the word of God. In what sense do we understand it? Because if you come to understand from Psalm 19 verses 7 to 11, it talks about the different approach of David in terms of God's word. And every single one of those things, he started mentioning, these are of the Lord. Everybody say, of the Lord. This is the law of the Lord. This is the testimony of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord. The rules of the Lord. In fact, there's one there that I didn't include, which is the fear of the Lord. So it gives us a picture that the scripture is the word of God. As I was studying this, David basically is establishing that the scripture is from God, it is of God, it is from God, and he is giving it to us. Here's the fascinating thing. He started making some description about the scripture in itself. He says, these are the law, everybody say law. It is a testimony, a precept, commandment, and rules. Now, let me just pause there for a while. Come to think of this. I think it would be easier, or rather, more acceptable in our society and generation right now to say that this is an encouragement of the Lord. All right? It would be easier or more acceptable to say that this one right here is an exhortation or an inspiration from the Lord. But none of those things were mentioned by David. He started saying, these are what? These are law, testimony, precepts, commandments, and rules. Now, in our generation right now, those are things that we will shy away from. But David says, these are what the word of God is. You know what is more exciting here or fascinating here is that even if David starts talking about God's word as the law, even if David starts talking about God's word as a commandment, look at this one. He says further, more to be desired are the law, the commandment, than gold. Now, come on now. It simply gives us a picture that there's something that David understood regarding the scripture that we all need to understand here this morning. He starts talking about the law of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. He says, all of these rules of God are more to be desired than gold. Even much more fine than gold. What is the finest kind of gold that we can think of? 24 karat gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Better than honeycomb. Meaning to say, God's word is better than the Sub-Zero beer at honeycomb. Come on now. What I want us to catch here is very simple, friends. I want us to catch David's heart here. Why is it that this man starts saying that God's word is better than everything else? And I hope and pray that we will have that kind of heart, that we will understand and embrace the passion of David for God's word. Now, take note of this one. Gold and honey were articles of extreme value during David's time. For now, you can just purchase honey in Robinson's or Lee Plaza. Some of them are pure, some of them are diluted. But nonetheless, during his time, if you talk about gold and honey during his time, he starts comparing those things, extremely valuable things, to God's word. And he says, God's word far supersedes these two things. If we try to relate that to our generation right now, maybe for some of the students here, it could be talking about social media. You know what's funny? When we ended our fast last Friday, one of the best practices to end a fast is to end it gradually or slowly. So meaning to say, if you will have to end a fast, then you'll have to start with soup, a soft meal, vegetables maybe. Guess what? I saw some of our students right after fasting eating boneless lechon. My point is this one. There are things in our life right now that are extremely valuable to us. Many of us here, the moment we wake up, check our social media. We first check our email, messages that were given to us. At the end of the day, I think the question that is being asked of us here is this one. Is God's word more valuable than all of these things? If God's word is not more valuable than these things, then there has to be a shift in our worldview. So allow me to talk about the necessity of God's Word here today. Then we're going to talk about the benefits of God's Word. First things first, whenever we start talking about necessity, you're talking about things that you can't leave the house without, right? You can't leave your home without bringing with you this necessity. For example, an ATM card, your MasterCard, your debit card. You can't leave the house without your car keys or your motorcycle keys. You cannot afford to leave the house without your cell phone. Anyone here, you can't leave the house without the cell phone? If you leave your cell phone, it feels like something's lacking in you. For some of us here, you can't leave the house without getting a kiss from your wife or from your husband. No. Okay, these are things, whenever you talk about necessity, you're talking about things that you can't live without. Here's another thing. Whenever you talk about necessity, these are things that you can't leave the house without, but these are also things that you can't live without. You folks catch that? You can't leave the house without, and these are also things that you cannot afford not to have in your life, because if you don't have that in your life, you will die. You folks know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your car keys. Even if you don't have your car keys, you might be anxious, but you're still going to live. You're not gonna die without a motorcycle, amen. But if you talk about food, it is a necessity. Okay? Scholars would say, or studies said, that a man can live only up to 60 days without food before the man dies. For some of us here, half day lang. Half day, hindi na kaya. So these are things that you can't live without. Now look at this one. This is not a hugot or whatever, but the sad reality is a lot of us here, or maybe many of us here, are like spiritual zombies. Good on the outward, but starving in your soul. A spiritual zombie, for that matter. You know, one of the best group of people to have lunch or dinner with are these people. The healthiest people in the world just couldn't pass a day in the office without food. There's always a food somewhere in every crevice of that office. But you know, at the end of the day, we understand that food is a necessity. But I want us to understand together with that, the spiritual parallel to that is the fact that spiritual food is a necessity. Friends, the truth of the matter is it is not a choice. You badly need God's Word. Like, that should be part of our diet. I don't want to bore us with any theological jargon, but let me just share this for us to understand. It's according to Wayne Grudem, in his book Systematic Theology, he said, the Bible is necessary. Everybody say necessary. The Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel, for maintaining spiritual life, and for knowing God's will. Though it is not necessary for knowing that God exists, or for knowing something about God's character or His moral law. We'll get to unpack that in a while. Let me just go to the first few things that he said. The Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel because God's redemptive act is seen in God's Word. And our role is to respond to that which God has provided. Now, here's the first question that I want us to understand. Why is the Bible necessary? Simply because general revelation is not enough. Allow me to explain this for a while. Look at this one. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, it says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. It says further, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. It says further in verse 20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. If you talk to an atheist's goal is to what? To disprove the existence of God. So meaning to say, in their inner core, they know for a fact innately that God exists. All they have to do is try to logically disprove it. You know, it is like, I understand that I gave this illustration in the prayer and fasting. It's like something like this. Anyone of you who've tried pushing a ball underwater? If you push a ball underwater, you would feel an enormous pressure of the ball going out. So that is what Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, this is how Paul explains it to the Roman people. He was like saying, you guys plainly know the truth. But what you're doing is that you're trying to suppress that which is already there. In fact, I don't have to explain all of these things to you because nature in itself screams in the existence of God. What Paul was basically telling all the Roman people, which is a Gentile world, was, look around you. It is very clear. God has made it plainly simple to everyone that there is a revelation of God's existence seen in creation. And friends, that is what we call general revelation. The recipient of a general revelation are both Christians and non-Christians. Every single one of us here in this world have a general revelation of the existence of God. But what we understand here is that general revelation is not enough. It says here, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Now, I want you to catch this for a while. It doesn't say that they are just aware, they perceive it. You folks understand that there's a difference between awareness and consciousness. Awareness is something that you are just aware of. Conscious makes you want to do something. Bible teaches us that every single man in this world can perceive the existence of God. We are conscious of God's existence, yet we suppress it. That's why in verse 20, Paul starts telling them, so they are without excuse. At the end of the day, when we face God, we cannot tell God, Lord, I didn't know. Yes, you know. Why? Because I made it plainly visible for every single one of us. Now, how did mankind respond to that? Mankind basically responded to that this way. It says in verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They knew God. They perceived God. They didn't honor God and gave thanks to God. That's why I'm telling you, it's best for you to thank God for many things. You thank God for the trees. Thank God for the acacia. Thank God for your clothes. Thank God for your sueldo and all of these things. Why? Because ungratefulness is a mark of an unbeliever. Then it says here further, okay, what they did was that they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. That is why in the first verse, in verse 18, it says the wrath of God is ready for them. Why? Because they started worshiping God's very creation. Everett Harrison said, a general revelation is sufficient to make man responsible, to make man conscious, to make man know, yet left on its own, it is not sufficient to accomplish salvation. That is why, friends, we need the written revelation. Because the general revelation is not enough. Why is the Bible necessary? Human wisdom is not enough. The Bible, the written revelation is necessary simply because human wisdom is not enough. It says here, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. You have friends who mock you or laugh at you because you are a Christian. You guys have friends who are like that? They tell you you're stupid for believing someone whom you think God sent from eternity past, then have himself crucified and save you and me. Now, I want you to understand this. Before you get angry at those people who are mocking you, before you were a Christian, you are the mocker. There's something that God did in your spirit that enabled you to be birthed again and to understand the things of God. Human wisdom will fail God's wisdom. That's why people do not understand the cross. That's why God said, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, if God is foolish. Meaning to say, in terms of our intellectual advancement in this century, it doesn't compare to God's intellect, friends. Listen, we're just what? We're just a tiny dot in the world. And our capacity is always limited. Come to imagine this. If man has the capacity to send someone to the moon, foolish as we are, then what can God, who is all wise, do in his own capacity? Human wisdom will always fail us. Why is the Bible necessary? Because man is spiritually blind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says here, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Being birthed again in the Spirit is an initiation of God himself. For example, I want to show you a picture of Lee Strobel right here. In the early 1980s, you know, Lee Strobel got so irritated or annoyed with Christians. He got so annoyed with Christianity that he set for himself a conquest. And that is what? To disprove the existence of God. Look at this one. He approached this not with mere emotions. He approached this scholarly. Everybody say scholarly. Meaning to say, he will try to gather every single logical evidence, every single philosophical evidence that will disprove the existence of God, and finally put a nail to the coffin on Christianity. He made his research, did his job as an atheist. By the end of his dissertation, he says, God is real. What has allowed him to do that? Because scholarly, he looked at the pages of the Bible, studied different archaeological sites, and do all of his research through God's written word. We are spiritually blind, but I challenge you, if you approach God, if you approach God's word, you will find out that God basically is real, and his redemptive act through the person of Jesus Christ is actually true for every single one of us. In fact, his life is out on a film called The Case of Christ. Why is the Bible necessary? Because the Bible helps us comprehend God. The Bible helps us understand or comprehend the things of God. Left on our own, come to imagine this with me for a while. Creation speaks of God's glory. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches us. Anyone of you here, you've tried climbing mountains? You went to Mount Alinis? Even non-Christians who would do that will marvel at the beauty of creation. Here's a fact. Even if they don't acknowledge God, they will acknowledge something else. They go up there, they marvel at the beauty of creation. They know for a fact that there's something here. There's something that their spirit perceives. And then because they are spiritually discerned, they start worshiping the acacia tree. They start worshiping the balete tree. But at the end of the day, we all have the capacity to basically perceive the things of God. Now, the Bible helps us comprehend the things of God. Then it says here, look at this one, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Then Paul starts saying, how unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. He says further, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And I'm telling you, this was not David, this was Paul himself. Considered to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, considered what? An intellectually advanced person during his time. Yet, he starts saying, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. That God's wisdom is unfathomable. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 34, Paul here is dumbfounded at the excellence of God's intellect in planning out the salvation of the Gentiles by way of Israel's rejection of Christ. It was like saying, Lord, how did you do all of these things? You remember in 1 Peter, even the angels, Bible says, when they look at God's work of creation, when they look at God's work of salvation, Bible says the angels are what? Are amazed at all of these things. So what Paul was saying here is that he's dumbfounded simply because he's thinking, okay, God, on the onset, is for the Israelites. Now, what God did was that he made the Israelites reject the Messiah, and now the salvation story is available for every single one of us. I want you to realize this. If the Israelite people, the Jewish people, accepted the Messiah, there will be no service here today. That's why he's presenting this to the Roman people. He's presenting this to the Gentile world. We cannot fathom the mind of God. In fact, it is a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. A direct quotation from Isaiah himself, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? At the end of the day, friends, I want us to understand, we cannot know God's mind apart from God's word. Scripture, friends, reveals to us God's mind. You want to know God? You want to have a relationship with God? You want to have a deep communion with God? Then don't depend on Sunday preaching here. Get into God's word yourself. Why? Because the Bible reveals to us God's mind. So what if you will not read the Bible? What if you're a Christian and you're spiritual starving, you're a spiritual zombie? I want you to understand this. If we fail to read God's word, we fail to understand how God thinks. If you don't read God's word and you are in a turmoil right now, you are suffering right now, you're making sacrifices now, you will not be able to comprehend how God thinks. Worse is, a lot of us might walk away from the faith if all the more you don't push yourself to get into God's word. If you get into God's word, you would come to understand, maybe for some of you, the terrible situation that you are going through right now, you would come to understand, wait a second, if I read the story of Joseph, I read the story of Job, I realize that these guys are like guinea pigs. I know the outcome, God. I know the outcome of my life right now. I know the outcome of my sacrifices right now. I know the outcome of my suffering right now. I know the outcome, Lord, as to why you want me to wait, because I've seen all of their story. It all ends well. We have to get into God's word. In fact, friends, if you get into God's word, this is but the only kind of amount of God's mind that you will ever have. Of course, God cannot reveal everything to every single one of us because we cannot handle it. So God's word gives us only an ounce of His mind. Tapos, pag hindi mo pa binasa yung God's word, kahit nung katiting na ounce na yun, wala ka na. The sad reality is we subscribe to so many people out there. We subscribe to this YouTuber, we subscribe to Newsweek, to Times. All of these things are like Chopra, Reader's Digest. You listen to Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah Winfrey, Richard Dawkins right there, Deepak Chopra, and all of this Gemini, Scorpio, horoscope, whatever that is. Friends, we're talking about worldview. Our world right now is fighting for worldview. The terrible thing that could happen to us is that if we subscribe to them and get their worldview, come to think of this, they tell you how you should live your life. Ikaw, Christian, they tell you how you should live your life. Whereas we know for a fact that how you should live your life is actually God's word. You should know better. Because if you're unconsciously or consciously downloading all of these contents, then that will form your worldview. That is why a biblical worldview is rather important. Why is the Bible necessary? The Bible facilitates salvation. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Salvation is available to Jews and Gentiles, but in order to be saved, you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. So meaning to say, you will appreciate the cross. I remember when I became a Christian, the first book that I read was the book of John. Why? Because my discipler told me so. Up until now, I don't know why. But nonetheless, I don't have any Christian background. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I don't know any of those Sunday schools. My first encounter with a Christian church is this church. Started observing. Someone invited me for a one-to-one, discipled me, and I started understanding all of these things. Now, of course, I was a baby Christian. The first thing he told me, read the book of John. Okay, I started reading the book of John, and after a while, growing as a Christian, I started reading the New Testament. I understand the words of Paul, the epistles of Paul, all of these things, the epistle of Paul, that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, guess what? When I started reading the Old Testament, all the more I am floored with God's redemptive story. Meaning to say, friends, yes, we understand the cross, but that's not all that there is. All the more you will appreciate what Jesus Christ has done on the cross if you see God's redemptive story starting from the book of Genesis. Why is the Bible necessary? Because it facilitates salvation. Why is the Bible necessary? The Bible is important to know God's will. It is important to know God's will. Look at this one. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 20, and it says here, the secret things, everybody say secret. Okay, may secret po si Lord. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It says here, the secret things belong to the Lord. The secret things here, scholars would agree, talk about the future of the redeemed, our future. That is why even in Christian circles, there's a lot of debate as to what's really going to happen in the future. But those things are kept secret and only God has the wisdom to process and comprehend and basically give that for every single one of us. The secret things belong to God. Here's the catch. It says here, there are things that are revealed. What is the revealed things for us? Come on now. Here, This is the revealed thing right here. This was revealed to us. That is why I want you to understand. If you have dreams, you have visions, sometimes you sleep, you dreamt of puto, tapos nagising ka parang, Lord, ano ibig sabihin nun? Lord, bakit may mata yung puto? Lord, bakit may bibig yung puto? Bad dream lang yun. You get to process your dreams, your vision, if you get into God's Word. Why? Because there's nothing that will be revealed anymore. This is the revelation of God, and we're going to talk about illumination, how to understand God's revelation. Now, the revealed things of God has a purpose, and the purpose is what? That we may do all the words of this law. That we may walk in God's will for every single one of us. Everything we need to know to live according to God's will is basically in the Bible. We have a portion of God's mind, not all of God's mind. The next thing that I want us to understand is the benefit of God's Word. We've talked about why God's Word is necessary. Next one is benefit. If it is a necessity, Archie, then what's in it for me? What are the benefits of the Bible? First is the benefit of life. I told you a while ago, some of us here are spiritually starving. We become like spiritual zombie. You want to be revived? You have to get into God's Word. The benefit of life. That's why David says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Some of you have been Christian for quite some time now and you're losing your passion. You're losing your desire. You're losing your delight. You're surrounded by so many cares, a lot of anxiety. There's too many things that the world has offered you. Perhaps, friend, this is a time to revive your soul. Reviving the soul right here talks about what? Restoring the life. And that is the goal that we have when we fasted. That when we fast, we understood, Lord, there's something about your word, God, that even if I was physically starving, Lord, my spirit is full. That's why Jesus himself said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In short, friends, the Bible that you have, the Bible has the life-giving power to revive your soul. If you're feeling dry today, at this stage of your Christianity, and you feel like, sister or brother, can you pray for me? I feel like I am in a wilderness. I feel like I'm so dry. My exhortation for you is this one. Get into God's Word. And allow God's Word to minister to you. Allow God's Word to give you the life-giving power that it has. What are the benefits of the Bible? The benefit of wisdom. Anyone here who wants to be wise? Alam niyo po, magugulat kayo. Habang tumatagal kayo na Christian, tapos nagbabasa kayo ng Bible, magugulat po kayo, nagiging wise kayo. Why is that so? Like what I told you, you're having the worldview from God's Word. For some reason, people approach you and ask you for advice. You understand? Parang, left on my own intellect, I cannot mentor people. I cannot coach people. But Lord, why is it that all of these people are coming to me for mentoring, for coaching? It is because God has given you the divine wisdom to sort out their situation, and it's coming from God's Word. All the more you have to get into God's Word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Sino po yung simpleng tao lang? Simpleng tao lang ako, Lord. God will make us wise. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That is one of the things that God will do in us and through us. He will enlighten our eyes. Meaning to say, He will remove the darkness in our life, that we will comprehend and understand His will for us. And last but not the least, and let me end with this one. And I feel like this is good for every single one of us here in Victory. And this is something that we want to have this year. What are some of the benefits of the Bible? The benefit of joy. Who of you wants to be joyful this year? Come on now. Joyful in plenty or in luck. Amen. Joyful whatever the circumstances. Joy that is not based on things that we have or things that we don't have, but joy that is based on the core person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Joyful people are Bible reading people. Bible reading people are joyful people. That whatever life throws at you, you will find reason to be joyful. You'll find reason to be thankful for what God has given every single one of us. The Bible is necessary. It has its benefit. Let me just end with this point right here. And this is for every single one of us, including myself. Read the Bible.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.